You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. Thank you so much for being with us this week. We're grateful that you're here and we hope you have a good time. If you do, the one thing that we ask is that you tell a friend about it, because we want to just, you know, make this one big party for you and all the people you love. And we're glad you're a part of it to start with. My name is Drew. Joining me as always is the LOL to my YOLO, my dear friend, Andy.
Hey man, how you doing?
I'm awesome, Andy. Just got back from a week of vacation. Went out to Bend, Oregon. Went to Boston for the first time. Great town. Nice. Shout out to Boston. Really, really loved Boston. And went to Seattle. So been on a whirlwind tour, both sides of the country.
That's awesome.
Happy to be back home.
I thought I had to save a life this weekend.
What happened?
We went to a river. We were at a music festival, and they had this nice little option where you could take a shuttle bus down to this cool little river spot.
And you could, like, baptize a friend.
You could, yeah. You could do that. Or they had this nice little chute where, like, you know, like, this section of the river was basically just one piece of rock that carved a natural water slide out of it. It was pretty shallow. It was only about waist deep for an adult, and it was pretty mellow, but it's just really slippery. It was all covered in moss. And this little kid next to me slipped when he was trying to get on a raft and went down. And he just had this look of terror on his face. So I went to grab him, and I slipped too, and I fell in with him. And suddenly, I thought I was saving a life. I say thought because I wrestled this kid. I didn't know. And I got him to the bottom, and then he just stood up next to me.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like either him or you, and you had to save yourself.
No. And then he ran over to his mom and was really freaked out. And she was like, oh, thank you for that. Thank you for he can totally swim, though.
Get your hands off my son.
Yeah. Turned out that I saved someone's life who absolutely did not need saving.
You did the right thing, though. You acted. You made a split decision. And I think that ultimately your heart was in the right place.
It's true.
And you can feel good that you would, you know, take a bullet for your own kids.
Yeah.
If push came to shove. Most people don't know this, and most people are surprised when I tell them, but I've never saved a life.
Not once?
No, never. Never. And I've had plenty of chances. So kudos to you.
Whoa.
Kudos to you.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I've only had two chances. And it's one of those things, if you just think about it for too long, the moment passes, unfortunately.
I'd like to think I save a life every day. My own.
Yeah, that is a healthy way to approach life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, you're dying every day.
True.
Or are you living every day?
You either get busy living or you get busy dying.
Speaking of getting busy, Andy, this week's episode was a good one. We got busy on this week's episode.
With a Z.
We had, from the band Floating Room, we had Kyle and Maya here. Maya is sort of the songwriting force behind the band. They also play in the band Drowse, which we talked about a little bit. So a rich music background for this pair. And they were super fun. We talked a lot about how personal Maya's songs are and how they reflect a lot of things from her life that are really difficult, and how she kind of dresses up those difficult subjects in kind of a poppy veneer. And that was really interesting to learn about how she draws those parallels from her life into the music. And we talked a little bit about what kind of license plates Andy's seen in a game we call License Plate Detective. And we played, most importantly, we played some really great music. Floating Room has a brand new album that just dropped this summer. You can find it. I listened on Spotify, but you can find it all over the internet, and it's really great. We played some new tracks from that. You can catch them live here in Portland at Ron Tom's this Sunday, which is July 29th. They're playing the great Sunday night show at Ron Tom's, so you can see them live there. And you can see Drowse next week on August 3rd, also here in Portland, Oregon. So definitely check out everything that they're up to, and enjoy our conversation with Maya and Kyle on this week's episode of Hot Garbage. I wish public shaming of a good honk could teach people a lesson, but it teaches the opposite.
It makes people want to honk back at you instead.
Well, we live in Portland where people don't really honk that much.
That's true.
You know, bigger cities like Chicago and New York and stuff, people constantly honk. It's just a constant.
Literally, someone ran in front of the car while we were driving here. No one honked. It was on 39th. Like, literally.
There's like a dude who just ran through, like, 39th and Hawthorne. He just like ran across the street in front of like oncoming traffic.
And nothing.
Everyone was like, good day to you.
Yeah.
And honking doesn't always work. I was backing out of a spot in safe at a Safeway, and I looked in my rear view, and an old lady was backing out too at the same time. And I had started first, so I kept going. I figured she'd see me and stop. And she just kept going. And instead of honking, I threw my car into drive and flew back into the spot to avoid getting hit. And then I honked. It wasn't even in my mind to like honk and maybe she would stop.
Yeah. And no. You lost that encounter.
I did, but I saved my bumper. She definitely would have hit me.
Yeah, she would have plowed right through you. She does not give a shit. Like, you get to be 65 if you're still driving. It's, you know, it's a roll of the dice. Who
cares?
It
might be one of the only perks of, you know, aging. You can shoplift and no one will think that you were doing it on purpose.
What would you shoplift if you were impervious? If you were... when you reach old age, what's going to be your advice?
God. My first thought was a Wii Fit because I really want one of those, but probably by that age, won't want that.
They probably won't have one.
It's true.
That might be by then the only exercise you're capable of doing. Like right now, you can do a wider range of activities than that little tiny bar that you step up on a Wii Fit.
You may be overestimating me. I don't know.
People can't see you, but you look insanely athletic.
I would steal salacious shit like liquor and pornography and stuff. Like, if I got caught, they'd just be like, oh, you dirty old man. And I'd just throw my hands up. You got me.
My grandson said Playboy was about playing and being a boy.
There's no boys in this magazine at all.
I like that Playboy would be the pornography that you would steal. That's, they don't even hide that anymore. That isn't even like, that's with Entertainment Weekly these days.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
They took the nudity out of it for a long time. Yeah. It's back though.
Where did the name Floating Room come from?
Do you know, Maya? I think I know, but.
What do you think you know?
I think it's.
Same at the same time.
It's many things.
It's many things. We're in love.
It's because we. We our first album we recorded in Maya's bedroom for the most part, so it was like a. Well, I don't know how to explain this.
Well, Floating Room is kind of like, I guess it does have to do with home recording or just playing music in your room, where it feels like your room is like a separate entity from the rest of the world, kind of like floating. Yeah.
And then it's also a reference to like the floating world. Period in Japan, which is like a super hedonistic art.
Which, period. I don't know if our music is like that, but maybe.
But, I mean, it's kind of druggy.
What era of it's Japanese art?
Yeah, you know.
Oh my god!
It.
Don't point at me.
The good news is you can say almost Wikipedia. Anything, and we know for sure.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a cool comic book shop name in Portland.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah, that too.
I think it's named after that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Google that shit on your own, listeners.
Yeah.
You're gonna be wild.
Was it something that you guys were immediately happy with? You're like, that's the name, that's the one. Or was there like
God.
A long list of candidates?
I think that was pretty.
Literally every band name is taken at this point. Like just fart, and that noise is taken. Like
I think that's why so many bands have two word band names or three words or more.
And with all like the misspellings and like the V's for U's and stuff.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, I think we were pretty happy with it when we figured it out. I can't really remember it now, though. Do you? I don't think we really had any alternative names.
I feel like we came up with a bunch that were taken.
Okay, we probably like Googled a bunch of shit.
You were like Weezer. Damn it.
Kiss.
Fuck.
Shit.
Like, even when I was like 17, I was in a band called Teeth, and we spelled it T-E-E-A-T-H. And then this like dance troupe came through town, and they were T-E-E-I-T-H or something. And it was like.
And you had to dance.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And then
the art again.
All my years of training came through. And breakdance battled.
How did the band come together? Because I know that both of you play in other projects. What was sort of the genesis of this particular band?
Honestly, Kyle was teaching me how to use Ableton, and so originally it was like he was
some
going
deep dubstep projects.
Yeah, he's gonna teach me how to record a couple songs, but then I'd be like, "Oh, do you want to add something to this?" And then we actually just have a really similar music taste and kind of just turned into a band. We also date each other.
Did that happen first, or did the band happen first?
I think we had the band after we started dating, right?
Well, I don't know. I feel like we were maybe doing it.
Hey, we're fucking
sure. Yeah, you could say that on the show. We know what it means.
We curse it. It.
But
I'd prefer if you said it.
Yeah,
yeah. But we recorded
and then
like,
whisper "fucking" like that right afterward.
We recorded a whole album before we actually had a band together or played any shows. So, right?
Yeah, it was like we set up the album release show, and then we're
that
like,
was like our second show.
We were like, oh god. We should have a band to play it.
Yeah. But then Maya's band, Sabonis, was kind of like falling apart. And then, I don't know, they like the label that Mo and Blake ran, which Maya runs now, they were like, okay, we'll put out this record even though we don't, like, you've never played a show, but yeah, we're going to put it out. So we basically, like, we've been playing music for like in Portland for so long that it was pretty easy to start this band because we like, I don't know, we've both been playing since we were like early teens here.
Yeah, they like Mo and Blake hadn't even heard any of our songs and they agreed to put a tape out. Got so lucky. That was pretty cool.
So then we were like, instantly,
that's
like,
helpful.
Okay,
well, that's really helpful. Band.
Cool. Man, that could have really backfired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish you had submitted a spoken word album and really inflammatory stuff. Just to teach them a lesson about trust.
Oh, yeah. Done that.
Well, I wanna dig a little bit deeper, but maybe we should give people a taste of the music. I know you guys brought some tracks from you released a new album.
Yeah,
just
it's
this
their second
year.
One.
Tell us a little bit about that project.
So Kyle and I are in another band called Drowse, and we were going up to Anacortes as To the Unknown to record for that band, and we decided why not just book the studio for a week, and then we basically wrote a Floating Room album in like a month and a half, just so we could just, I don't know, kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, but that we finished this like
that's horrible promotion.
Yeah, we didn't give a fuck about this album.
Yeah. We really crapped this one out. Enjoy. Yeah.
Well, we finished it like a year ago, though. I mean, that recording thing. And yeah, then we kept adding on to it because we do home recording stuff, too. So we kind of like took that stuff and then like we weren't totally done with it. I guess it didn't feel finished. So like over the next year, we were like adding stuff to it and like figuring out what to do with it. Then it's like it actually came out like over a year after we recorded the original songs and stuff, but we did those like right after we put out the first album, so it hasn't felt super long.
Well, and sometimes it's nice to like give yourself a deadline and then and get what you can get done then, and then you can go back and tweak like you did. So
yeah and it was cool because we were able to blend like the like studio stuff with home recording, which I think is pretty interesting.
I definitely think limitations can be limitations can be liberating. Anyway. Yeah,
well, let's listen to a track. What's the first track you'd like to play this evening?
Acid Queen.
I don't know. Dog.
Well, I don't know if I put Dog on there.
Oh, I have Dog.
That's
my personal favorite.
If you want to do that one, that's cool.
Yeah, let's do Dog. Yeah.
I love this song because it's written from both the perspective of a dog and the person who owns the dog.
I'm
So one thing I'm always curious about, because I have moments like this all the time, are there moments when you're like, God, this sucks? You're writing music and you're like, man, this is really shitty. You have times when you get really down?
I don't know. Not with this band has been pretty good, I feel like, with song. Like, I feel like most of the shit that we've written, we've been very excited about. But I don't know. What do you
think? I mean,
but I think everybody has that initially.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
it's okay to say that it's been, you know, smooth sailing through calm waters.
Sometimes I don't know.
Well, like, sometimes we'll doubt ourselves a bunch because, like, the first thing we put out was very different sounding than the second album. So we were, like, really, like, I don't know. We really, like, changed the sound a lot. And so at points, we were, like, kind of doubting it. But
yeah, like, if there's any doubt, it's usually, like, it's after the fact of... I don't know. When we're writing... I don't think that I'm thinking about how people are going to receive it. Sometimes it can be stressful to, like, actually release something.
Yeah.
So your doubt is really kind of what people will think of a change or something like that, or how people will interpret the music or whether they'll accept it or not. It's really more to do with the people that are listening than it is your self-confidence.
I don't know. What would you say?
I mean, I feel self-conscious sometimes talking about, like, meanings of songs, which is not to say that I won't talk about it, because I hella will. But then, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's very intense. But I feel like when we're actually writing songs, we don't really feel like, oh, this is shitty. Like, usually pretty happy about the stuff that we're making. And usually it, like pushes us forwards. Like, for instance, like, this last week we were just working on a new song that I think we're going to play on Sunday that we were, like, really stoked on. And that was like, oh, fuck, now we're going to start writing more new songs. Like, usually it's like a spark more than anything.
Yeah.
But the doubt stuff is more in, like, I don't know. Like, for me, it's like thinking about the big picture, like, the first album that we made was all home recorded and, like, really slow and really sad sounding. And I feel like people liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're happy about that. But then the next, like, this one that we just put out is, like, definitely more upbeat. And we recorded it at a studio. And, like, we're stoked on it too now. But we also, like, before we put it out, we're like, whoa, is this, like, too drastic of a change? Or... I don't know. What do you think, Maya?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I honestly feel as far as writing, I have a really short attention span, so if I don't like something, then I just won't continue writing it.
Yeah, I keep deferring to Maya because she's the main songwriter for this band.
Well, what is the process? Tell us a little bit about how a song starts. If you're talking about a single song, where does it start, and how do you guys collaborate to bring it to a finish?
A lot of the times I write, well, the first album was much different than the second album. The first album is mainly just me and Kyle, and I, like, programmed the beats on Ableton and,
we recorded everything ourselves.
Yeah.
Usually Maya writes, like, a whole song with, like, lyrics and chords and, like, the whole structure, and then we'll work on it together and I'll write parts, and then, like, maybe we'll change, like, the arrangement a little bit, and then we'll, like, together, that's, like, the next step, and then we'll bring it to whoever's, we've had, like, a bunch of people playing in the band in terms of drums and bass, but I think Sonia Weber has been, like, the most consistent drummer that we've had. So we'll bring it to them later, and then, like, in the last album, they wrote their own stuff. But then there's another step, which is usually, like, recording and, like, making these kind of, like, we're really into making weird sounds and, like, adding a bunch of bells and whistles. And
there's,
like,
a lot of texture.
Getting really elaborate with that. So that's, like, a whole other thing outside of songwriting, I feel like, that is pretty important to this band.
Foley art.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the, like, there is a lot of shit. Like there's parts that's where really Maya cool. recorded her dog, and it's like her.
That is, like, unintentional. My dog is just, like, so jealous of my guitar that every time I play guitar, he starts crying. And
then we'll just, like, leave shit like that in.
A crying dog can be a really beautiful melody, too, if you layer it in properly.
Yeah, especially if it's chopped and screwed.
Yeah. So, Maya, I have a question. Since you are sort of the creative start of every song in Floating Room, what do you feel like people can learn about you from the music?
Ooh.
Like, what's your favorite color?
Like, my favorite color? Oh, God. I think I like blue. Ooh, God. What can you learn about me from the music?
Bunch of depressing stuff.
Yeah, like...
Well, maybe the answer is nothing. Like, some people are very expressive musically, but... It doesn't necessarily reflect something personal about themselves. But since I'm just curious, since you create all this music yourself and it really is coming entirely from you, I'm just wondering what in that, how personal do you allow yourself to get?
Well, see, that's part of why it's hard to talk about music, because I feel like I allow myself to be pretty personal because I'm writing the songs mainly for myself. Like, so... Yeah, I don't know. I write about being a survivor of an abusive relationship and sexual assault. And so, yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah, you can learn.
But I write about other stuff too, but I don't know. That stuff affects. I mean, oftentimes it's what I have to process that gets put into song. So,
can I ask this in a different way, because those are, like, you know, really personal, heavy subjects, and I can understand art being this means to process them and get them out of your system, but you are also sharing them with other people. So when you hear songs about those subjects and you understand that someone is expressing something to yourself, I guess, what are you hoping that people take away from your music? What are you hoping that the experience of listening to you is, and why is it important for you to share these things rather than just play them in your room for yourself?
I mean, I guess... There's a lot of people that I think Kyle and I are both inspired by who are very personal in their art, like Nausgaard.
Yeah, or like Phil Elverum from
Phil Elverum.
And Gigi Allen.
not so that much. One. And
too personal.
I mean, like, someone who I've been reading lately, but they use like a pseudonym is like. Elena Ferrante, but it seems like it's based off of her life. I don't know.
How are those books? Are those good books?
Drew's oh, yeah. The Neapolitan series or
yes, that's what I'm talking about. The ones that look like they have like little girls in pink dresses on
oh,
the cover.
Oh, yeah. The covers look
the covers are terrible.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And my girlfriend and I've been like teasing because there was an article about how it was a pseudonym like last year, and I've been trying to like tease my girlfriend into reading them, but she refuses based on the covers. But they're pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I just started book 4 today. So fucking good. But okay. Those covers,
like... You gotta get past the covers.
God, like, so the first one is called My Brilliant Friend, and my best friend gave it to me on my birthday and wrote, like, to my brilliant friend. If it wasn't for that, I don't think I would have read it, but it's fucking good.
You guys, they definitely you fucked up. You rule number one is you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover.
But you do. Damn. You absolutely do. I read a lot, and I always judge books by their cover.
I judge a lot of albums by their covers, too.
Yeah.
That book is, okay, that book is pretty crazy, like, meta. Like, in the book, she's talking about how her book was published, and she didn't like the cover. Like, yeah. But there's, like, it's published in so many different languages, so I don't know if it's, like...
There's worse covers out there.
I think there's definitely better covers.
They look like the covers look like a dream sequence in a telenovela.
Yeah,
that's what I think of. They like a flashback.
It just makes me picture something that my mom's book group would be reading.
Yes,
your mom's book group did read that.
Yeah, they did.
Because we had a combo about that.
But we like shit like that. That's like very like you know biographical or real.
Yeah,
I think that's like
But it's, I don't know. It's like, I respect that, but it's also very, like, horrifying to...
to actually put stuff like that.
It will, like, keep you up at night.
Yeah.
But that's also, like, flattering yourself that people are, like, on, like, songmeetings.com, like, oh, my stoner song must be about this. I actually like to make the song sound kind of poppy so it doesn't sound like it's about, like, horrible, traumatic shit.
Well, I do want to, I have more questions here, but I think we should listen a little bit of What's Up Bandy Sleeve, because he's also a dark and deeply personal kind of guy when it comes to music. Andy, what have you been listening to recently? What are you going to play for us?
Oh, man, I'm going to play you some stuff that, man, these guys are really great. This is a band from New Zealand. They're called Ha the Unclear, and they had an album last year that got a lot of press, got a lot of great reviews, and their new album is really good, too. It's called Invisible Lines. And, yeah, these guys, they have this, they write songs that kind of feel like the more you listen to the lyrics, the more you get out of it. It's one of those type of bands where there's second and third listens.
It's like Weird Al.
It really, yeah, yeah. It's deep. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't sound like it at all. It's very poppy. It's very catchy. But there's a lot there if you get into it. So,
all right. Yeah. Let's check it
out. And it's funny as fuck. So check these guys out. The song is called Wallace Line.
If no one ever heard your music, would it sound different? Would you do anything different musically if you knew that no one was ever going to hear it?
Probably. That sounds like super posery, but like a band that I really look up to is Deer Hunter, because I like the way that if you like listen on headphones, they're actually really weird and do cool artistic stuff, but like dear God, I've worked at like a pizza shop for so many years and they don't like, it's like a family pizza restaurant and they don't want weird music, but I can still put Deer Hunter on. I don't know. I kind of think it's cool when a band can be like.
Where do they draw the line? What's too weird? Is Deer Hunter just the cusp there?
Oh God, I've been to like so many of these different
pizza restaurants. They'll play Mr. Bungle, but only California.
Yeah.
They won't play Disco Volante.
Weird still.
Yeah, it's yeah. super weird.
They play a lot of Chili album. Peppers, but only Californication and on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean,
Stadium Arcadium Plus.
Yeah, I've been a pizza driver. I have a couple different jobs, but that's one gig sometimes. And at one place I delivered pizzas at, they thought Mac DeMarco was weird.
Well,
I feel like
weird.
That says
he's
a
weird.
Lot.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to listen.
Yeah, that's like, it's like,
so
you're
chill.
like reaching in your head, like, what might I slightly enjoy that is acceptable and my coworkers will like? And then they're
stained.
Like, oh, this is weird. Like,
disturbed.
Yeah.
Not that I'm endorsing Mac DeMarco.
So you got the inside game on the local pizza.
Yeah.
What's the best pizza? Give us your favorite Portland pizza.
Best Portland pizza? Okay, this is like hard because I actually hate pizza after all these
I
years.
I bet.
But,
so it's got to be really good.
At Quarter World, that pizza
Yeah, Quarter
is
World's
so
pizza.
Oh,
the best
I've
pizza.
Never had their pizza. Uh-huh.
They just, I don't know where it's from. Maybe they make it there, maybe not, but it rules.
What if it's like they're sharing a back kitchen with a piece of Shoals?
That's
and they're
what
getting
I'm
like,
thinking.
They're
That's
getting a- like... Back alley at Pizza Shoals.
A Pizza Shoals. I, out of principle, I won't go there. People waiting around a corner to get a slice of pizza.
Yeah, we live in Portland, though, and like a lot of the good places, there's just a thing where you have to fucking wait in line to eat there, and I'm kind of over it, too.
Yeah.
I tried to go to the Super Deluxe this weekend.
I tried
to go, because I was like, I'm going to try it and give Drew the rundown, and I waited in that line for 20 minutes and moved one car, and I gave up and left.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm going to wait. It's right now. It's about a 50-minute wait in that drive-thru.
I hope the people that work in that drive-thru are just high as fuck.
They should be. It's their right.
I will give.
Wait,
a
there's ball. Is a pizza drive-thru?
No, it's not pizza.
Oh my god,
this is,
Kyle's
this
like
is Super Deluxe. This is a new fast food place owned by the guy that owned Little Big Burger and Blue Star Donuts.
Gotcha.
He's trying to do like a drive-thru.
Yeah.
Burger
it's kind of cool,
joint.
But I've been wondering like why aren't there pizza drive-thrus?
I
Google searched this.
Yeah. I've never thought about this before.
Yeah,
you,
like
you've
pizza
blown
by
my
the
mind.
Slice.
There was a place like that in Michigan for years called Spad's, and they did like pizza by the slice. It was kind of
really?
Like a thicker, like Detroit style
oh,
slice.
God. I would fuck that up.
It was
I'd
great.
Crave it.
Yeah.
All the time. At late at night.
The shit
Do you
out
think
of
the,
it.
The feeling is like it's a messy thing to eat while you're driving?
Not
no
if
way.
It's in
the That's like a
it.
Hand
yeah.
pizza. I mean, a hand food.
Yeah.
There's that. But if you've got like a cup French bread pizza, that's just already in its own container.
Yeah.
I suppose. Yeah. Or like Sicilian style. It's a square. It's more
yeah.
handleable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Well,
now a burrito.
Yeah, make
That's
it.
A pretty good thing to eat in a car, but no matter what I do, my car smells like a burrito after I eat a burrito in there for like 2 days. My car permanently smells like Taco Bell now.
Did you say if? We ate Taco Bell 2 nights ago.
I think it was last night.
Wait, that was last night.
Hold on.
He just
this organically came on.
He
I'm
just
talking
smelled
about
Andy's
smell.
Car,
yeah.
Yeah.
And he thought it was disgusting, which it yeah, definitely.
Taco Bell brought back the fries recently.
Yeah,
so
I
while,
tried them.
While it's hot,
we're sharing embarrassing Taco Bell stories. I had them like 3 days ago.
Do you like
delicious.
It?
Delicious.
They're super yeah, good. Let me tell you, everybody, I've talked about this before, but you can get those fries in anything on that menu. All you have to do is give them 50 more cents, and they will put those fries in anything. Yeah. It's pretty good. I recommend you do it before they take it away. They're calling this release of these fries season 2. Ooh. So limited time only, I guess. I don't know.
So you were talking about Deer Hunter in the context of how different your music might be if it was going to exist in a vacuum. So you like the idea of sort of hiding something weird and maybe fringe accessible inside something a little more palatable?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, like, a lot of the stuff that I like to, not that I like to write about, but that I feel like I have to write about, if I were just to talk about it in conversation with someone, they'd be like, oh, I think my mom's calling me. I gotta go. You know, so I feel like it's kind of nice to trick people into listening to me.
It's like, oh, this melody is really great. Oh, it's actually so sad. Fuck.
Have you had anybody come up to you after a show and say how happy and excited they were about a song and then had the subject matter be super grim?
Oh, yeah, totally. Like with that dog song that we played. Yeah, it's, you know, song about a dog and its owner. But it's also a song about, like a girl dating some older guy who's abusive. And it sounds really poppy. And I've had someone be like, whoa, that's a sad song, like at a show. And
it's just like that Amy Grant song, Baby Baby, mm-hmm. that everybody thinks is about this dude she's fucking, but it's really about her actual baby. It's like an opposite, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think
Amy I'm Grant taken is by freaking. The notion yeah. to love you with the sweetest of devotions.
Yeah.
But I also kind of like the idea of like someone like Brian Eno or something who started out doing like very like kind of commercial stuff with Roxy Music and then like basically gained the ability to do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But airport still
music is still the best ever to listen to in an airport.
Yeah. But just still like, you know, but he's still like got financial support and stuff for it too.
Oh
like,
my God. Yeah.
It's cool that you can like, you know, make something that you back and like are into, but is like poppy or whatever. Cause like we like pop music, but then also to be able to like get that to a level where you're like still funded or whatever to make some weird shit. It's like we try to, like on the last album, there's a couple songs that are like super weird and droney. We always try to like Trojan horse that stuff into it.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of music. I know you guys brought a couple more tracks. What's the second one you'd like to share?
Acid Queen. It's a song about doing acid, but also a bunch of.
And dark, listening to Queen?
Dark shit. No. We could talk about it afterwards because it's really interesting.
Okay. Later. Well, let's give it a listen and then we'll dig in.
But it just helped you under the
So that song definitely sounded like it was happy and positive. It had, it was like that awesome like rock out near the end. It's, you know, got some major chords in it. Very pleasing. So what did we miss? What sad thing was hidden within that vortex?
So that song is actually about Crystal and Todd, and their names are in the song. Crystal grew up in this shitty town where she hated everyone and was a stripper. And one day Todd comes in and he looks like a mad scientist, and there's like a rule, you don't go home with like the
with a mad
clients
scientist.
Or whatever.
With Christopher Lloyd.
But she does, because there's something about him, and he actually lives in an underground bunker, which is actually like a psychedelic lab. And they begin dating, and it's like, if you YouTube search Underground Acid Palace, you'll find this like mini documentary. Yeah,
I've watched this, and really? It's fascinating.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
This is a true story?
This is a true story. The scientist started an acid lab and attracted a bevy of strippers to come live in his underground dungeon, and then became kind of a weird captive abuser, and it was very weird.
Yeah.
Super fucked up. Like,
oh, God, yeah.
What happens next to it?
Well, so he is getting paranoid that his partner in his business is going to rat him out. So he rats out his partner to, like, the, what is it, DEA? And
the ATF and the FBI. No, I'm just saying that. I'm just thinking of all the other abbreviations.
Yeah, and so he, like, is, I guess, so they... He's like gets to go free because he ratted out his partner, and so he's traveling with Crystal, and like they're so, you know, I guess they're like, I guess eventually it is like an open relationship, but then
he. The scenario sounds like it would have to be an open relationship. I don't feel like there's a lot of commitment in this, this story.
Yeah, I don't know, but. Yeah, eventually one of her, like another boyfriend tells her that she should escape this abusive situation. And so they think that the only way that they can safely do it is to like rat out him to the government, because he's still like traveling around with like all this, these like crazy hallucinogenic drugs and stuff. But I guess he's... exempt acid. Because he's already like ratted out his partner, and so he kidnaps her and her other boyfriend and takes them to a hotel room and tortures him in front of
I'd
her.
I'd like to think it's some kind of acid torture.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like injecting, what is he doing?
Like injecting drugs into his penis. There's like one point where he wraps the windy phone cord around the penis, and oh my god, this is so fucked up. This is like why it feels kind of awkward
episode
to tell,
title right there,
because this is like not actually funny. This is just horrifying.
Yeah,
like it's
rough.
Fucked
but
up.
It's like, so this song is like that, it's inspired by that.
Okay, but he wraps the phone cord around
the
penis,
this part.
And then he puts his foot down on the guy. There's a snap. Like,
jeez.
It's just so fucked up. And like honestly, I felt. We listened to this, or we watched this YouTube video on the last day of tour. Yeah, we watch videos in the tour van.
While driving.
But it made
with
me
the search
so
terms
sad.
Torture plus acid. And
acid
you,
torture, please.
You get what you ask for.
Yeah, it made me so sad that I wrote this song about it.
But there's like a couple other parallels to your own life with this song, right? Like
acid torture.
Like I owned a rotary phone.
Yeah. No. My grandma had a rotary phone. Funny story.
No,
do we have an
that,
hour left
feeling,
of this?
The feeling that she had, like, when she went back to the...
Oh, yeah. So there's, like, in the interview, she's, like, in this underground thing, bunker, and the smile crawls upon her face, like the lyric, and, you know, she's just like, I don't know, I think she says it, like, I think that she says that she'll always, I don't know, there's just some message that comes across that she still kind of loves this fucked up dude, and that made me so sad. I don't love the whatever. I don't love the bad guy that was in my life, but I can certainly relate to being brainwashed by someone with a god complex who was like, you know, like I was in a shitty relationship with someone that was like kind of in a way like a hero to me. And also I've known other women that have been in weird similar situations, and it just made me really sad, and I wrote a song about it.
And then also there's like a parallel with the like ass drug use stuff.
Oh yeah, I just started going to back stuff. To school again, so I don't really do a ton of drugs. But yeah, I mean, I definitely turned to like psychedelics and stuff after having traumatic stuff in my life.
It can be very therapeutic.
Yeah, it definitely, it feels like it helps, you know. I think.
But I think the song is super cool because, like, it for me, like, just like as someone who's just like playing on it or whatever, but listening to Maya, like or seeing the way her brain works, in terms of like, oh, you watch this video and then like, wow, you're drawing all these parallels to your own life, and then also tying in like this, like there's like so many things that like tie into your experience, but you're like expressing it through this really strange outlet. But I think that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. I feel like you thought the song was weird at first, and you didn't like it.
I think the music of this song is really weird, but the lyrics I always like.
That part, always really good.
Well, I think it's people always, I mean, I feel like the weird things that stick with people are always those things that are, have some sort of parallel that connect in some way, and it's more striking because there's this really fucked up thing that you're learning about, and if you can pull something into your own life, it's like a shiver almost. It's like and that's really awesome that you were able to kind of incorporate some of those things in this really crazy situation, and it makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, fortunately I've never been in the situation that you were describing, but it does make sense that you would look back and it was you. These are your experiences, these are things you've gone through, so it's difficult to, you don't want to, you know, bury every part of your past just because it could be a negative time. So it's cool that you have this way to process it. There's something that you guys can help us process. It's a little bit of a shift in gears from that, but I think this, that you're, the mentality that we're in right now is perfect. We play a game occasionally called License Plate Detective, and Andy will observe what he's positive is a vanity license plate out here. So these are all real license plates, but he doesn't really know what they are. And so we just try to, you know, help him figure out what these might be. There are no wrong answers. You guys ready to just like bullshit for 5 minutes?
Yeah, we'll try.
Definitely.
We'll give it a shot. This is one of those games. It's feast or famine. Sometimes it's really great. Yeah. Most times it's really awful.
Drew kind of hates this game because it does crumble in our hands and fall apart.
I'll try to keep it light. We'll try to keep it breezy here.
We're clever.
Yeah.
That's
my favorite part. Just think of that acid queen.
Let's kick it off with this one. This one doesn't seem as mysterious as it did when I wrote it down when I was driving with one hand on my phone. BCH space MBL.
BCHMBL, beach marble.
Yeah, that's what I originally thought. I was like, "Ooh, Beach Mobile, like a weird phone company." That's Bitch Mobile.
Oh, the Bitch Mobile.
Definitely Bitch Mobile.
I like Beach Mobile better. It's like a prepaid cell phone that you bring to the beach.
Yeah, I can get sand on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I can get a little wet, but not all the way wet.
My burner phone that I just toss in the ocean if no one calls me. But Bitch Mobile, but it's got a space, I guess. Wouldn't Bitchmobile be all one word?
I bet that was
sometimes no, I think that you words. Have to have a space on a license plate. Right?
I don't think you do.
You'd be surprised. No? Oh, really? You can always get a hyphen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've seen F-U-K-F-C-E, fuckface, before.
Really?
No, I haven't.
Man. But that'd be beautiful.
Well, it's a pretty, words or one?
Pretty stringent screening company involved in the government that blocks swear words.
What kind of car was the Bitchmobile?
I don't even know. I completely forget.
Let's say
Chevy Malibu.
Let's say Volkswagen Jetta.
I like it.
Here's okay. a good one. This is a good one. And this one incorporates a hyphen.
Ooh.
Two hyphen in the word honey.
Number two, the number hyphen two. Honey.
Uh-huh. Two honey?
The whole word.
Two honey? That's like you're the number two honey. Like.
Yeah, I'm not like, the number one.
But, like, but you're still proud. I guess I'll take it. Like, that's some true love that you were proud to be number two. Number two honey.
That sounds like a floating room song. It's like this really sad thing that you've dressed up in this sugary.
No, it's actually badass.
It's because you're basically describing someone who is not the first choice of someone else and has celebrated someone that fact by paying extra for a license.
Do you want to be number one, though? Because number one, that's the person that's like.
A lot
like,
of responsibility.
Yeah.
Maybe it's you true. Live together, you have to like do the person's laundry, or I don't know, like they fart around you. Like, if you're number two, well, I don't know. Maybe you're like not the main focus, but maybe that's a good thing.
Fart, honey, that's not a bad license plate.
Yeah. Oops, I've talked about farting a couple times.
That's okay. If you need to let one rip, I mean, these microphones
burper,
are not that.
No shame.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, of course not. We all fart here. Sometimes around our secondary honeys as much as around our primary honeys. Yeah, I guess the two honey is the fun one.
Yeah.
It's like the, let's go to a show this weekend, honey, because, you know, I'm bored with my one takeout pizza, honey.
Oh my God, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
That's the one you do all the weird sex stuff with is the second honey.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay, crack that case. That was an open and shut.
That one was pretty good.
Well done.
All right, here's another one. S-U-R space L-U-V.
Sir Love? That sounds like someone from like California coast or something like that. Big Sir.
Big Sir, yeah.
Oh,
just loving up the Big
Californian.
Sir.
I got that Sir Love.
Yeah, you should have run him off the road.
Yeah. Probably should have.
Or, no, I've got nothing else. I'm going to
so this
list, cash in while I'm ahead.
Yeah, this list is deep. And there's a lot of them on here that aren't that funny.
No.
And some of them.
That's really up to us to make them
some
funny.
Some of them make little sense. I'm digging. I'm going to go back to the first. The first one that I have in my list.
761 ADA.
Yeah. This one is the first one, and it is not that good, but I want to say it.
Fine. You convince me.
G-A-T-V-O-L.
G-A-T-V-O-L. All one word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote that down because that makes no sense. What are you doing? Why did you get that as a vanity plate? Gator. Yeah.
I was thinking
gator.
That's like
very
a
loud because a gator like has a very sensitive ear.
Get. Bull.
Oh, yeah. My gat volume. My gun is very loud. I got gat volume.
So, yeah, it's loud.
It's
or isn't
huge.
A vole like a rodent? Isn't bull. It like a little...
it could be about his pet that is his, carrying
yeah,
his gat.
He's packing heat. My vole is like a gat. Fuck you up. I'm always fascinated by the people who go out of their way to acquire a vanity license plate, but aren't like totally clear about what they're going for.
Yeah.
Like why take any chances and pay extra? Yeah.
It speaks to them.
Yeah.
I don't express myself through my car at all. There's nothing about my car that expresses me except maybe the Taco Bell smell.
Yeah. Mine smells real bad.
Smells like Maya's farts by now. Yeah. Do we have one more, Andy? We have one more to take us home on. You gavel.
I got so many here, but I don't know which one to go out on. Let's see.
No wrong answers.
The worst.
They're one. All bad license plates.
This one is L-MENTS.
MENTS?
Uh-huh. Elements.
Elements?
Elements.
Like the periodic table?
Is this a person? Is this a super scientist?
Elements. Uh-huh. They must not be very... I mean, that's a pretty bad way to... put that on a license plate if it's elements.
Yeah.
If they're a scientist, I don't know if they're so smart.
Yeah, when you do L-M-E-N-T-S, elements.
Why is there a dash?
It's right there, exactly. So maybe...
It could be love men in tight shirts.
Elements.
I like that. And they're always honking at tight shirts.
Ooh, tight shirts.
Yeah.
Elements.
Check out my plate. I L that T-S, man.
What do you think?
Well, I also love men in tight shirts.
Is it tight shirts?
That was your license plate.
Oh, no.
That's me. L men in TS.
L in that T, man. Keeping it tight. You said it was tight shirts or just tees? Men's t-shirts. Could it be just men's t-shirts? You said men in tight shirts.
Yeah, I just thought TS was tight shirts, but it could be t-shirts.
It could be t-shirts.
I like them tight.
I do too. I do too.
Real tight.
All right. Well, that was pretty good. That was like, I will say that I'm going to give that a B, which is the highest grade we've ever received.
Really?
For that game. No, we've had some A's, unfortunately. I don't want to break your spirits, but we've had some people that have really crushed
it.
I'm out
of this interview.
No, you guys did great.
That was great.
Andy, let's listen to a little bit of music to take us out of there.
Ooh, man, let's take this party to Detroit. This is a band that, oh my God, I'm so surprised I'm just finding out about these guys now. They're so good. They're called The Armed. They play like a mixture of kind of like noise and hardcore punk. Mm. But the part of it that really grabs me is they have a modular synth guy. So they have a drummer, and they've worked with some pretty serious drummers. They've had the guy from Converge playing drums for them. They had the dude from Dillinger Escape Plan and played with Coheed and Cambria. They're called The Armed.
The Armed.
Yeah. All their music is free on Bandcamp, their entire discography, like full like digital FLAC files, the whole thing. And they don't have their names on any of their stuff. They just have the infinity symbol, which is also kind of their logo. They have kind of a squared off X infinity symbol. And they play... just this is like the sound of like civil unrest. This just sounds like modern protest music to me. This is just pure unadulterated rage at a broken system.
All right.
And I fucking love it. So check out this. Their new album's called Only Love, and you can find it on Bandcamp. And this song's called Fortune's Daughter. We'll be right back.
What did you guys listen to when you were like 13 years old?
Well, kind of like that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Converge fan. I think I got turned on to them when I was like 13 or 14. A lot of hardcore punk and a lot of like thrash metal. I think Slayer was like my first show.
Whoa.
But totally unrelated to the music that we make now, or that I make now with Drows too.
I'm really lucky because I went to the rock and roll camp for girls in the sixth grade and had a ton of mentors and like.
That's a really cool thing that they do in Portland. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
The summer camp is basically like you spend a week writing a song and then at the end of the week you play a show. So I had a bunch of super cool mentors there and they would make me mix CDs and stuff and like they took me to see Sonic Youth in the sixth grade and I got to meet them. And
you get to meet Sonic Youth in the sixth grade?
Yeah, and I got to go to Ladyfest too. My band in like the seventh grade got to play Ladyfest. Like, I don't know. Girls rock and roll camp for girls is like, oh my God.
Have you contributed to it in your musicianship and given back to it? Have you played any shows with the rock and roll
camp for girls? She was a teacher there for a little bit.
Yeah, oh, that's cool. I've like performed at the lunch times and then I've also taught guitar at the summer camp.
That's super cool. Yeah.
So you didn't have to go through like the bullshit that most of us do when we learn to like music. You got to like download, you got to jump
got
right
all
to
the cool shit.
Yeah.
It's like the warp whistle in Mario 3. You went right to level 8, huh?
That's awesome.
But then you're like, you do miss out on stuff and like
You don't get to have shitty taste.
Yeah, you don't have to listen to Slayer for like
Slayer's awesome.
But then I kind of am like oblivious, like I don't know any Beatles songs.
Well, yeah. that is a loss.
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
But you can find them. They're out there.
That's true.
In fact, it's better now that you're an adult to discover the Beatles now. Now you get to like take that journey. And maybe you'd hate them. Maybe you'd hate
them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe
you should take the journey.
I'll take the journey. I watched like a TV documentary about John Lennon. It was pretty weird.
Mm-hmm. Didn't know he was in the Beatles.
I watched a cool documentary on John Lennon where they found this old tape player that he had that had like 65 songs on it or something. And it was kind of a jukebox of tapes. And then they just went through that mixtape that he made or something. And it was actually probably a number closer to like 12 songs with this little thing. But it was cool.
Somewhere between 12 and 65 songs.
He had a pretty good musical taste at the time.
Yeah.
He had between 400 songs.
Yeah.
All on cassette tape.
Two tapes.
On this pocket.
Do either of you have like something that you consider to be your favorite band? Maybe it's not the one you listen to most anymore, but it's like the one that you're like, man, that's my favorite band.
Yeah. What's
yours, we both really like all of Phil Elverum's music.
Yeah, that's like my Microphones in Mount Erie.
Mount Erie's, yeah, that's some stirring stuff. That's such a sad story.
Yeah.
I love sad music.
Do you have a favorite outside of that? Like, that's our collective favorite band.
Yeah. I mean, that's almost the problem of getting into music when you're in middle school, because it was like, yeah, I really liked that music before I understood it, like the Microphones, like in high school. And what do I like? I like
Sonic Youth is one.
Sonic Youth. Helvetia is like a really
band
great
Portland
band.
That we're like, their old band Duster is like a huge influence.
We love Duster.
For me,
Mira was like a huge inspiration for me growing up.
Yeah, I think Slint is one, at least for me. My Bloody Valentine, clearly.
Bedhead.
Yeah, you guys were like
a lot of.
How about
I
you,
was,
Drew? What's your current favorite band?
My current favorite band? Oh. What have I been listening to a lot of? It's not about my favorite band, but I've listened to this band Lovebird a lot recently. They're kind of like a washed out psyche, very melodic. It's kind of repetitive, but really, really good. It's, you know, bright and sparkly and psyche. Nice. So, cool. I mean, I've been listening to a lot of that kind of stuff.
That's pretty cool.
And I've gotten to this thing where I keep this notebook by my desk at work, and I just, like, go through band camp.
Doodle wieners.
And I just, like, I listen to two or three songs, and then I write down the band. And I, well, yeah, the margins are, there is, mostly when I think of marginalia, it is all cock-based. But there is some substance there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been like writing down page after page of bands I need to go back and spend, you know, like 2 days with.
We'll take some time with my current favorite band, the Wood Brothers.
The Wood Brothers?
Yeah, those guys are great, man. If you like the band at all,
these guys are like the modern
equivalent of the band. They even do a really kick-ass cover of Ophelia. Check them out.
What are your two all-time favorite or like, you know, stuff that
the one that I say when people ask me? Well, mine is this is how far apart you and I were in middle school, Maya. Mine's 311. That's what I like. One of that was like my first favorite band, and it's I still love.
Don't like you have the, a 311 story, Kyle?
He one beat time up a guy in a 311 shirt.
You tell everybody that, but it's really Blink-182.
An old band that I was in got through the border to come back from Mexico, even though we had some weed on us. Because we had a 311 sticker on the van. Yeah. Ironically, I may add, we didn't. I mean, yeah, the guy driving the van grew up on them. So, but the cop was like, "Oh, well, fuck! I love 311. I'm just gonna let it slide."
This really hurt my feelings because now, I mean, I know it's like,
I mean, but they're pretty talented musicians.
I know like, that they have like corny lyrically and all that, and that they're it's controversial. Like, but now they're cop music.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's what we got
cops,
by
cool
with
cops. Cool cops. Cool cops. Cool cops will let you sneak back in with.
Story. But didn't
no, that guy's cool. He likes 311.
One of our bandmates got arrested, and the cop said that they liked what was
Fiddler.
The band? Fiddler. What is that band?
Fuck yeah, I love that band. Those guys are great.
Yeah,
awesome.
And then meanwhile,
Jake was.
Don't say his name.
I can't say this. Never mind. Scratch that from the record.
If you have to ask me my favorite band of all time, because you just mentioned it, Slayer definitely holds like the highest notch in my heart. Because I fucking love that band. I kind of got into them, ironically, because at the time I was into more like punk rock stuff, and I hated drawn out guitar solos and shit. But
Slayer, so fast.
And then I probably said this in the show before, but I made a mixtape where I took Seasons in the Abyss and took out all the guitar solos.
It was like so hardcore, all heavy.
That sounds pretty good.
It was just all chugging. It was dope. Or no, it was Divine Intervention.
I would listen to that.
Yeah, 311 is what happens when you don't have any older brothers, when you don't go to a cool, music camp.
I missed it.
When your friends, it's like Nine Inch Nails is another one.
I love like, that band still, though. I think they're pretty great.
The Downward Spiral was one of my all-time favorite albums. I still listen to that quite a lot. But that was what I was getting introduced to was 311 and Nine Inch Nails and then like Southern California pop punk for like 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah.
That's where I was at.
I also think my other top all-time favorite musician is Taj Mahal. Just my favorite blues. He really has like a varied collection because he does a lot of weird like Caribbean stuff that's cool. And some of that I don't like at all. But his blues music is just so good, man.
Well, he's speaking of music.
Certified musicologist.
We do have time for one more track. What's the last one you guys like to kick for us tonight?
Or should we... Plug Ed Drow's song.
No, we don't have to plug my other.
Come on.
You're allowed to.
I mean,
there are no wrong songs here.
Play shit from our new...
But we already played two songs. Come on, plug it.
Okay, we can.
Yeah,
play
we want to hear some Drow's.
Okay, this is our other band, Drow's, that is like kind of like this band. Maya's the main songwriter in this one. I'm the main songwriter, and we both play in both of them. And it's
is this as equally personal for you as? Floating Room is for
yeah, definitely. This is more kind of about like mental health, like bipolar disorder and stuff like that.
Interesting. Okay.
Or just like taking a bunch of medications in my youth and processing it through music. But yeah, we both do very personal projects.
Awesome. Well, let's check it out. What's the song, the Drow song you'd like to play?
I think the one that I brought is called Two Faces, and I only brought it because I don't think. It's been as highlighted as other songs on the... We put out an album this year, too.
Nice. All right, let's check it out. Well, before we go, we're going to go through a couple rapid fire questions if you guys are game. So there are no wrong answers. First thing that comes to mind, if there was a movie about you, who would you want to play you?
That's a hard
it's
question.
Rapid fire.
That doesn't have to be. I mean, this is already. If you're thinking at a fast clip, then that qualifies as rapid fire.
I got to kick it off here. As always,
Russell Crowe.
Anthony Anderson. My boy Anthony true. Anderson would be the best.
Yep. Andy Blackish Fix.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Me, the comedian Sinbad.
Nice. I like it.
It's really hard. Is it bad that I first thought of Steve Buscemi?
No. He's a one of our most talented he's actors. He's a national treasure.
I hope I don't look like him.
No, but he can capture the soulfulness that you project at all times.
I feel like the only person I've ever been told that I look like is April Ludgate from Parks and Rec.
Oh, sure.
But I would want... Okay, who's that guy from that show Community? The principal? Or Chang? Is that his name on the show?
Yeah.
I would want him to play me.
I don't know what that personality name wise. Is, but he's
like, not
fucking looks. Hilarious.
He is fucking sick, yeah. And he's a doctor.
Yeah.
I forget that guy's name.
I know you're talking about the dude who's in The Hangover. He was in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. And he was awesome in Community.
Love that guy.
Senior Chang. Okay, those are good answers. Second question. If you could change the color of the sky to any color, what would it be? No, change that. You have to change it, not if you could. Because, you said your favorite color is blue. Maybe you love the sky. But in this scenario, you're forced to change the color of the sky.
Mine would be purple because it looks very soothing, kind of like cough syrup or something.
Yeah.
And it's kind of psychedelic. And
gently alien, too. Yeah, like alien. It'd be like this really... really different vibe on
but
Earth.
But it would feel nice, too. Like, it's not, like, a alarming red or something.
Exactly, yeah. The world's not screaming at you at all times.
It's just kind of there, but very alien.
I would go some sort of, like, pastel green, I think. Like a glowy, nice. Kind of oozy kind of green. Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah,
I would go solid chrome, like fucking badass.
Whoa, I was thinking that too.
Nice. High five over here. Yeah,
chrome sky.
Yeah, that might be the episode title right there.
Yeah, chrome sky. Yeah, not bad. If you could make one other form of art, I mean, of course you can. But if you like were focused on one other art instead of music, what would it be?
That's easy. I feel like it's easy.
Graffiti tagging.
No, but that is pretty awesome. I think video art because we both do video.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, I go to school for art too. But if we're talking about like in a I wish I could dance. That'd be fucking cool.
I mean, mine would be writing probably. Like ideally, I like writing, but I'm not as good at it as music. I think
you're hella good at it. Oh my god.
But yeah, we both make videos like we made all the music videos for our bands and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, and they're great.
Yeah, they are really great videos.
Yeah. Cool. It brings up a lot, but definitely something involving some kind of trick show and blade throwing event.
Yeah, I can
some
see
kind
that.
Of like a Wild West.
The art theme. Of blade throwing.
Yeah. Maybe not Wild West. I like to keep
and maybe
it more
not
modern.
Art. You know,
yeah. Maybe more of like step right up and get stabbed by my knife in a group environment.
Yeah. So just killing people. Yeah. Publicly?
No. Maybe
I'm not accurate enough to kill anybody.
No.
Yeah. Andy's just some very gruesome, bloody.
Yeah. I'm gonna start setting this up. It's just basically a house party that you come to that I just run through, throwing knives. Mm-hmm. And you pay to be there, and you're just like, whoa, this is so exciting. I almost got stabbed. Oh, I did get stabbed.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
From across the room by Andy,
what
the
accuracy.
Artist.
Wow. Dude, feel that.
Yeah.
Shank.
If you had to take a spoonful of either that bathtub soap scum or human feces, unknown donor, which would you choose?
Hands down, feces.
Hands down.
It looks kind of good.
The other one is just like soap and jizz and
it's
hair.
Like
if it's my own,
make you
even
sick.
Better.
Unknown donor. You don't know. It could be your own. It could be your own. you know.
Turns out shit tastes great. You guys are wrong.
You ever think that it looks kind of good?
Yeah.
Am I alone here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's probably a whole food. Yeah, there's probably a whole, like, people who share that psychosis.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. But I think I would definitely go for the soap scum because at least there's some antibacterial qualities in there.
I don't know. The soap scum
on the way down.
Yeah. The soap scum is the one that's making me want to throw up right now. So I think I'm probably with you. I think the poop, I get it. I get it.
I eat about a pound of soap a month anyways just to clear out my system.
You save up the little slivers. Then,
I melt
it's
them
the
on
30th.
I toast some bread and I put some soap slivers on there and just chomp it down.
You got to melt it a little bit because it's like butter. You don't want to, like, you know, tear into the bread too much. You want to get that evenly spread soap.
Mm-hmm. And a spreadable soap.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, parquet of soap. Mm-hmm. The last question I have is, what article of clothing that you don't wear do you wish you could pull off better? Like me, I'd like to wear some really dope-ass knee-high boots.
That'd look good on you.
I don't. It wouldn't. It would not look good on me. But I wish.
I think
you know what I wish I could pull off? A really badass spiked battle vest.
Yeah,
like a metal guy battle vest. I couldn't pull it off.
Yeah,
but I would love to. It's a lifestyle choice.
It doesn't necessarily clash with who you are.
I don't want to be a poser. So if I was rocking that, I would have to be a committed Hesher, and I'm not there. I've got kids.
Kyle, you seem like the kind of person who's thought about this.
Well,
I'm
I
surprised.
Used to have a vest like that growing up. So I used to pull that off. I kind of wish I could still do that. I'm going to divert to Maya first because I got to think for a second.
The other thing I wish while you're thinking that I could pull off is a Speedo. I think I'm at that age now where I don't give a fuck what people think about me, and it's more fun for me to embarrass my family.
You're entering older European man Speedo territory.
I am, and I think I'm ready to fully embrace it. I'm going to start just standing around naked in locker rooms because I just don't care what people think. I just want to make other people uncomfortable in a creepy old man kind of vibe. I don't want to creep out like real people, but those creepy old men who stand around in the locker room, I'm going to give them something
to fucking
talk about.
You know what? Speaking of... We brought up farts a lot. Those same old men just fart in locker rooms.
Fuck
too.
Yeah, they do. And
they're nude and they're farting. There's nothing to protect you from.
Is that a form of working out? Just like nude farting.
It's like
and not shitting yourself. It takes a whole different.
There's
muscle
there's seriously a kind of old man that it's like they spend an hour gaping themselves because it's the biggest airiest farts that you've ever seen. They're just stuffing their ass with air and they're just letting it out.
They only feel
that
comfortable.
That would be weight loss because I feel like if you fart, then you can hold off pooping for a while, which would be the real.
Yeah,
that's the real weight loss.
Yeah, if you're really trying to drop pounds. Yeah.
Is that what those guys are doing? They're waiting around to shit. They stand around in the locker room waiting until they want everyone else to leave.
Yeah.
So they can do it in peace. But people keep coming in.
Yeah.
So they stand there naked. They just came out of the shower and they have to shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we just cracked that case wide open.
They're like fucking animals.
Yeah.
I'm
stuck here for a while. Until all these people leave.
That reminds me, okay, what I wish I could pull off is playing a show naked, because it's our music is not actually fun enough to just get naked, but I've always fantasized about doing
it. Gets really dark if you're up there naked.
The thing about playing a show naked is I think it would be really fun for half a song, and then you're just up there.
Yeah.
Then you're just, it just becomes part of the show, and it's just man, this might have not been the greatest choice. Maybe for the encore.
We thought about, there was this one time.
Because we took Adderall before we played. Or no, it was Ritalin. We're taking, this was a couple years ago. We don't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. As often.
But
we real hyped up and we're let's get naked.
Let's just play in our underwear.
And then our other bandmate was wait, there's a lot of college kids here.
It was a college
here.
Party. It was
that's
18,
inappropriate.
Maybe, very young, much younger.
This is my niece's birthday party. We can't do this here.
It's oh, God,
really
you're so right.
For a second.
I mean, do we probably keep our underoos on?
Your unders? Keep the unders.
The undies.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can do that. That seems yeah, I'm not just blowing smoke, Maya, but you seem like the kind of person who could adopt any garment and it would be just fine.
Oh,
I feel like you.
You
got a lot of range.
Thank you.
With you throw a cape on there, that's fine.
That's what you say, but y'all in public without t-shirts, it's probably more chill than if I tried it. I don't know.
No, that's where you're absolutely wrong. shirtless men is one of my biggest pet peeves. Just the dude who can't wait till the temperature is like 51 and a half degrees and just shedding that shirt.
There we go.
So we can walk around the zoo.
So you can show those sick tats to all those
around
ladies.
The zoo. We're looping back to the zoo.
Speaking of capes, mine I figured out would probably be like a 70s or like 80s synth wizard, like Vangelis. Nice. Like wearing a cape surrounded by synths and like very overweight
cape.
And with a big beard and long hair. But you'd people like, still thought I was the shit and would like want to do cocaine off of the synths. And stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're wearing a cape in the 70s, you are doing cocaine off of something.
Mm-hmm. You might be manufacturing.
Yeah.
It's a look that I would love to.
You're describing sort of like what I picture in my mind is like Lando Calrissian from Cloud City when he first comes out with his cape.
Totally.
He's looking like he's ready to do some coke for sure.
Play some sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Maya, Kyle, thank you guys so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you hanging out and getting silly with us. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, we loved it. Pleasure is ours.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks so much.
And you guys are playing a show this Sunday at Ron Tom's here in Portland.
Yeah, with Tender Age.
Yeah, which is always a wonderful place to check out a show. Where else can people keep track of what you're up to and where you're playing?
We got all the socials, like Facebook. We have
Twitter.
Spotify.
All of that shit. It's all like Floating Room or Floating Dude.
Yeah, Floating Dude on Instagram.
Yeah, and we didn't even get into it, but also check out Maya's label, Good Cheer.
Oh,
amazing roster of bands. We've had a ton of them on the show, and we're going to have a bunch more on.
Yeah, if you've listened to the show, you know that we love Good Cheer, and it's a deep roster, so definitely check that out.
Yeah, some of my favorite stuff coming out of Portland right now. Yeah.
And Drowse is playing a show next week here in Portland?
Yeah, next 8-3, I think it's next Friday.
Great.
And it's part of a tour at Night Short West Coast thing that we're doing.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. We really appreciate you guys being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Look forward to seeing you around. And thank all of you for listening to this episode. We really appreciate you joining us. We hope you had a good time. If you did, we hope you tell a friend, family member, or coworker about the show. You can also just drop a comment on iTunes when you're subscribing, and that is really helpful as well, as long as it's positive. We don't cotton to that hate, okay? So keep it out of our fucking feed, asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you for listening.
Yeah, but thank you so much.
Yeah.
And for God's sake, for the love of fucking God, if you're listening to this, tell somebody about our goddamn podcast.
Tell somebody.
Please. Be like, I know you don't have enough time to listen to it, but just download it. And you know what? You're going to find out a lot of good music. You're going to hear a lot of cool stories. And you might fucking hate it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you.
And then Andy's going to come up to you at a show, and he's going to be like, I'm that guy you were listening to. And you're like, really?
It happens all the time.
Really? And it's going to be like, it's going to blow your mind. So they're the endless advantages to telling a friend.
Just like the final song from this fucking episode is going to. This is a new band from Portland that you need to be fucking knowing about.
Okay.
And I'm going to say fuck like 7 more times. So just strap in.
Fucking A.
Strap in a Mr. Lazara. This is a band called Slippery Eyes. And holy shit, man, these guys are super good. This is Kay and Jesse from Grandfather, another band from Portland that's on my short list of bands I need to see play live. They describe their sound as queer sad boy twinkles from PDX.
Oh, I like the idea of twinkles as a descriptor.
Yeah, this is just music. If summertime is making you feel sad and you need something to just cover those sobs from your roommates who won't stop bothering you.
I thought there ain't no
cure
for the summertime blues.
Well, it turns out, here it is.
Mm.
And this band's self-titled EP just dropped. And this is a song off of that called Summer of 62.
All right. Well, for Maya and Kyle of Floating Room, for Andy and Nate, this is Drew. We will see you next week on Hot Garbage.
Sweats up.